stepping. Ahí estaba Pastor and Sister Ronnie and Henry and Brenda, and they saw it, and Pastor started, and they started weeping, and Pastor says, you continue doing what the Lord is telling you to do. Why am I sharing this, man? I want to stir up that fire within you. Because each and every one of us here this morning have the same thing. John 14:4 says, I'm going to the Father, and you will do great and mighty things. Oh man, come on people. It's time. It really is time. Amen. Children, ages 2. What? Oh, I'm sorry. I got carried away, man.
Just a quick announcement. The newsletters for December and January are on the back table. We have the men's events listed on there, the Christmas play for the school. So if you'd like to know what's going on here at Church of Acts for the next 2 months, please be sure to grab the newsletter for December and January. Thank you.
If you are involved in Ranks Ministry, can you stand up here in the front? I know we have 3 kids out there, or 4. Megan, Richard. There's 2 more missing over there. Fabian. But So
we've been together for about, I want to say, almost close to 2 years, and gosh, God has been doing some great things with these kids. Now it's become culture wherever we go. They know, we have to pray before we eat, or if we see someone in need, they're like, hey, miss, that person over there looks like they need prayer. I mean, we're not asking them to look for people. They just do it because it's instinctual. And it's because we have created this culture of love and this culture of God. And because of that, we're still going strong. But I'm one of those people that it's really difficult for me to ask for help when I need it. But God's still working on me with that. And especially as a leader in a ministry, I need to get used to doing that more often. And we have such an amazing pastor and Ronnie for support. I just want to thank you for that. Because without their support, we wouldn't be who we are today. And we just bless them because of it. But this year we decided for Christmas we're going to do something different. We're going to find a family to adopt. And we did. We found a family to adopt that's in need. Praise God. Yeah. But this family has a lot of kids. They have about 7 boys and then 1 on the way. It's a little girl. We're not here to judge. We're not here to, ask questions. We're just here to bless. And we found this family really cool. This couple of days ago, actually, we found them. And we want to be partakers in blessing them. So I'm here and we're all here asking for some donation because it's a lot of kids that we need to bless. And like I said, I'm not good at asking, but I'm asking if there is anything that you want to give or contribute, we'd really appreciate it. We'd love it. I'm just going to bless the kids. We're going to speak blessing over them. Father God, in the name of Jesus, all these kids that are in this household, in this situation. Father God, we don't know all the details, but we know that you are God and you are supreme and you are ruler. And these boys that probably don't know what having a father is, God, we speak the love of the Father over each and every one of them. God, and let us be blessers. Let us be able to bless these kids, God, in such a way that they will know that they are loved, not just by us, not by Church of Acts, but by Jesus and by the Father, that they are so loved, God. Lord, and we just thank you for everyone that's going to partake in this, God. Whatever donation, it doesn't matter how small, God. We're believing, Father, that you're going to multiply whatever we give, God. We're just going to speak over multiplication and blessing in the name of Jesus, God. And we just bless those who can give and those who can't, Father God. Because we know that in our hearts, we're all partakers of this In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
The Lord reminded me yesterday about a situation that happened, and I had no clue why he was putting this in front of my face. But back in 2001, I woke up and I saw this woman with this little girl in Las Palmas shopping area. And I had no clue why, but I went to work, and as I walked into Las Palmas shopping area, there was the woman with the little girl. And I was in the middle of work. I wasn't allowed to be minister or anything, but I just stopped and I said, you know what? I have to stop y'all because the Lord has something for y'all. I don't know why. You might think I'm crazy, but I saw both of y'all this morning when I woke up, and now you hear what's going on. And they looked at each other, and the woman said, this girl's mom is a prostitute, and she's on heroin, and she gave her to me. So now she's mine. There's no papers. There's no nothing, but she's mine. I said, what's your address? And I went, and I grabbed my brothers from church, and we got all the money we could, and we walked in the house, and the house was full of these little boys. And it was a week before Christmas, and there was nothing. There wasn't even food in the pantry. There was nothing. There wasn't even a Christmas tree. And now she's got another kid. And church, that's what we're called to do. The Lord was reminding me of this yesterday. I was like, why are you reminding me about this story? And I just want to say, you know what? That's why. This family right here, this is why. So if you can sow into that, because you know what? By the end of the day, there was a turkey, there was beans, there was rice, there was tortillas, there was flowers, there was manteca. The whole house was full of toys. The house had a Christmas tree. I don't care if you don't believe in Christmas, but those little boys, they had a Christmas, and that woman knew God was real. She knew Jesus Christ was real. That little girl whose mom was turning herself out and gave her away, she knew. You know what? My mom and dad don't love me, but God loves me. God is a father to the fatherless. Let's be fathers and mothers to the fatherless. Amen.
On there? Okay. Thank you all for that offering. Joni asked me this morning if we could help, and you know, that's what the church is all about. It's not about the church just helping the church. It's letting people know through our giving, God so loved the world, he gave his only son. So if the church stops giving, then what is it that we're trying to portray? So thank you so much for helping us out with that, and we'll make sure that this family receives 100% of that. Let's see, it's good to see our brother Fabian back. Fabian been such a blessing ever since he first started coming here to COA, and we really appreciate his ministry. And he got sick there with shingles for a little while, but he's back with us again, so that's awesome. Also, Mario mentioned it earlier, if you all would keep our sister Sandra in prayer, she's going in to the hospital on Wednesday for a procedure where they're going to have to put some things in her body to shock her heart to put it back on beat, because it's not beating properly. So I want you all to be praying for that procedure to come out well with our sister Sandra. She's really been fighting this thing, and we've been praying for her and interceding and just believing that at any day God can just turn this thing around for her. So keep sending in your prayers. Okay, let's go ahead and allow children's ministry to be dismissed. That's ages 2, and then our youth through 19. 2 through 19. The rest of you, look in your Bibles for Hebrews 9. Brother, how's Sister Summers doing? She's doing good? Awesome. Awesome. A lot of rain. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Good. Let me ask you this while we're getting ready. Have you ever thought about what happened in those 3 days with Jesus? I mean, we know that the Father didn't take 3 days because he was tired to finally raise his son. We know it didn't take him 3 days because he was so busy, he had to put it in line with other things that he had to accomplish. We know that. So have you ever thought of what occurred in those 3 days? You know, when you look at the tabernacle that God spoke to Moses about, and he told Moses, I want you to build this on the earth just the way you see it. I'll give you the width, the height, the breadth, the depth. I'll give you the texture. I'll give you the pattern. I'll give you the colors. I'll tell you what to cover with gold, with silver, with bronze. But build it exactly the way you see it here in the heavens. So he built what we call the tabernacle of the Old Testament. But did you know that Jesus, the very Lamb of God, the very one who is the ultimate sacrifice, never walked in that tabernacle? Once a year, a high priest, whoever it was at that time, only once a year, he would take the blood of the animal sacrifices and he would walk in to what they called the Holy of Holies. It was the Holy of Holies where only one person, the high priest, could walk in once a year. Then it was the holy place. We had other furnishings, and in there the priests would do their work. Then you have the outward court. And in all of that, Jesus never stepped foot into. And yet he's the Lamb of God. But it's a picture of something that was to come. Remember, we've told you before, if you're going to build something, you don't go to the shadow of it to try and build it. It doesn't give you the true trajectory. It doesn't give you the true depth or height or width of something. Something that is a shadow of something else never gives you the right proportions of what that true substance is. And yet the book of Hebrews says that Jesus is the true expression of the Father. He wasn't a shadow. He was the very one incarnate, in flesh. So to look at Jesus is to look at God. But when we get back to this tabernacle, there were so many things that were done there And yet Jesus never stepped in one time. But through his sacrifice, he took in his own blood into the Holy of Holies of heaven to not just have our sins forgiven, but to purge us even of our conscience. So listen to me. If you've ever added weight, if you've ever added debt, if you've ever added any type of payment for the wrong of someone or someone's sin, you're still dealing with Old Testament ways. This isn't what I'm telling you. Let's say that one of your children is coming to you to tell you that they did this, or did they, that, you know, well, this happened, that, whatever it is. You say, okay, well, from now on, you got to go and do this chore. You got to go and pay this until the debt is paid. What you're doing is you're applying animal's blood to your child instead of the cleansing blood of the Lamb of God. Isn't that terrible? You're trying to get your sons and your daughters closer to the Lord. You're trying to get them to come and get saved and turn their lives over to Jesus. But yet, when it comes to debt, when it comes to sin, you're still dealing with them with animal sacrifices. Now, how many of you could be comforted knowing at night that you're going to sleep and the only thing covering your children are still the blood of animals? Nobody would want that. So why do you place that on them? See, not anything that they ever did cleansed them of their conscience. In fact, everything that they did religiously reminded them of their sin every single year. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, start in verse 2. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, table, and showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden posts that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicated this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. concerned only with foods, drinks, various washings, and fleshing ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ, everybody say Christ. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and of calves, but with his own blood he entered, listen now, with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. If you still walk with guilt for something you committed 5, 10, 15 years ago, maybe when you were a teenager, something drastic happened in your life, maybe your mom still reminds you of it, or your dad, or they'll say something in anger and they'll bring up that occasion that occurred in your life. That is not the Spirit of God. There should not be any type of weight over you for any sin you've ever committed, because Jesus says you're forgiven. You know, I talked about the ashes and the red heifer. This is something they've been seeking for. If they've found it or not up to this point, I do not know. But in order for them to move the tabernacle and to start sacrifices again, they would have to start them with the ashes of the last red heifer that they sacrificed. So all these years, all these generations, they've been seeking after the ashes of that red heifer so they can start their ordinances again, so they can start their sacrifices again. That's the only way they can start this type of worship unto God, if they were to find the actual ashes of that red heifer. And they've been looking for them. Now, why would you want to go and begin something again that was abolished by the very blood of the Lamb himself? Think about it, saints. Why? If it says that the first covenant would be radically moved away, fulfilled by the second covenant that was coming, and that one is Jesus. He walked right into the holy place of heaven. Not on earth. Not anything built by man. Not anything created by man. He didn't have to walk into any type of earthly thing that was erected on the earth. He walked straight into the heavens before the Father, bringing his own blood. And it says here that now our sins have been dealt with once and for all. You know, there's some people that can't get over certain things that they've done. No wonder. They're being reminded of it every single day. From the time they wake up to the time they go to bed, they're reminded how bad of a person that they are. I mean, I don't know about other cultures, but man, us Hispanics, we're good for that. Oh man, we'll get you at breakfast, we'll get you at lunch, and we'll suck you in dinner. I mean, it's just, that's our culture. It just seems like we have a job, and that job is to make sure that people don't forget for what they've done. That is a terrible way to live. So there was not anything that anyone could do to purge their conscience from what they had done. Any religious act, any type of tithing, any type of animal sacrifice, or bringing this to the temple for an offering, it was constantly reminding them year after year for the wrong that they had committed. But here comes Jesus. In the fullness of time, he came. He never brought an animal sacrifice to the temple. He was that sacrifice. He never had to commit any type of offering with any type of blood, because the blood was flowing in his veins. Perfect sacrifice. No spot, no blemish, no wrinkle, no broken bone, no scar. There was not anything that Jesus went through as a child that scarred his body, because he was the high priest and the lamb all bundled up in one. But this is how you know that you have appreciated the sacrifice of Jesus: when you walk totally free from anything you've ever done wrong. You gotta let the power of that blood cleanse you once and for all. You can't be walking around with something hanging over your head all the time. You gotta wake up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit," because he's right there. He says, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." There's not anything you could ever do that could ever separate my love from you. Man, that's so awesome. And that's the good news that the church has failed to preach. It's us and them. Christians and the sinners. And that's not true. He's the Lamb of God which shed his blood for all the world to see. They just don't know it. So what Hebrews is telling us is, as you read Hebrews 9, he's sharing with us about different parts of the tabernacle. And yet Jesus never walked in it. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know if I would have liked Jesus to be a member of my church. He was a radical, man. He was a radical. I mean, what type of Sunday school teaching are you going to give him? He's the Word. It's like giving a study and saying, "Okay, Jesus, we know you're busting at the seams. Is there anything you want to say about what we just taught?" Can you imagine what he had to say? And all the truth he'd have to bring forth from whatever lies we gave? So I don't really know if I would have liked him to be a member of my church. I probably would have run him off just like other rabbis did. He was amazing because he had the spirit of truth. You want to build something and Jesus is in there nodding his head like, oh, waste of time, waste of money, I'm right here. Think about it. Only one time a year could a high priest, not the other priest, only the high priest, to walk into that tabernacle. And for him to be able to walk in, that blood that he took in with him covered him and covered the rest of the sacrifices that were coming in. He would take that blood and he would sprinkle it over the mercy seat. So there's actual blood that was just inside something living just minutes ago, and now it's being sprinkled upon the mercy seat for God to be merciful. And they did that every single year, one time. But what happened in those 3 days that Jesus was in the earth? We know he went and took the authority away from the devil. It says that he took the keys away from death. Now, don't think that Satan was walking around like a janitor with certain keys, and Jesus says, I want that one right there. Take it out of your keychain. No. Keys represent authority. And he went and stripped the adversary of any authority that deals with death. So Jesus has the keys to heaven and to hell. And the Lord makes it so hard for a person to end up in hell. He makes it so hard because his mercies are new every morning. Every morning. He just makes it fresh all over again. That's how powerful the blood of the Lamb of God committed to our doing, where he took that blood, put it upon the mercy seat of heaven once and for all. So if you walk around in your life with something that seems to be pending, like something that, you know, you just don't know how to take care of, how to handle, or something that you think, one of these days, I'm going to get over this thing. Well, today's a good day. Today's a real good day to finally get rid of this burden, this heaviness that you walk with, that you still say, well, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't fulfill this calling. I can't move under this anointing after all that I've done. And yet here comes a teacher of Israel to talk to Jesus. And he went away still with no understanding. Then the very next day, Jesus meets a woman that had been married and divorced 5 times. And now she's living with someone. Number 6. And she goes to a well to meet number 7. Number 7 means perfection, completeness. She was about to meet the man of her dreams. And it was Jesus. He spoke to her. As soon as he spoke to her, and he says, "Woman, give me to drink," she actually looked around to see who this rabbi was talking to. Nobody spoke with her. She's a woman with 5 broken marriages. She's a woman living in adultery. She's a woman that lived down the corner, you know, city street that nobody ever spoke with. She was unclean. She wasn't worthy. She could go into the temple and fulfill certain things that other people did. She just wanted to be normal. She didn't want to be accepted. Have the children in the neighborhood run by your yard and say, "Hi, Miss Brown." Well, I'm not trying to be prejudiced. "Hi, Miss Rodriguez." Whatever the case is. That's all she wanted. And she goes one day, just like any other day, to draw water from a deep well. There's a man sitting there who's God Almighty. And he begins to speak to her. And she responded. Then they bring up the whole conversation of religious things. Who built the well? Her patriarch. And on and on. And they got into a little religious conversation. And before she left that day, she met the Messiah, Christ Himself. And I'm sure that she didn't remain in that relationship. She's probably the first one that sang that song, "Should Have Put a Ring on It." But I'm sure she didn't stay in that relationship after she had met love. That's who she met. His name was Jesus. And she felt a way that no man had ever made her feel before. And it removed the burden from her life, that which was constantly on her conscience. Family members that wouldn't go visit her because now she's shacking up with someone. "We're not going to go over there for Christmas. No way. We're going to celebrate with purity and cleanliness. We're going to celebrate it the right way. We won't go to her house. No telling what kind of party they'll be having." Who do you stay away from in Christmas time? No, who? No, not what. I'll be there. If that's the only thing I've got to unwrap, it's an awesome Christmas. So see, what I want you to understand is this, saints. If you have a tendency to add in any way, shape, or form to anyone's heaviness or whatever they've committed, you're not doing it the way the Lord wants it. These people, though they had the tabernacle, the animal skin that they covered it with, the outer court with that curtain, all these things that they had, and it must have been a beauty of a sight. Still, when they walked away from giving the priest their animal sacrifice, and they walked away knowing that the priest would perform their ordinance, they still, when they got home, had the heaviness of their conscience to deal with for another year and another year. But then comes Jesus. He says, "Son, what I'm going to do for you will cover you for the rest of eternity. Past, present, and even the future wrong that you'll commit. Because I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever you've committed, whenever you committed it, it was taken care of even before you did the wrong." So parents, listen to me. I've got children just like anybody else. And they do wrong just like anybody else. Don't think that, you know, my children somehow, because I'm a pastor, have, you know, some instant ticket to heaven. They've got to call upon him just like everybody else. But I don't walk around with a weight to add to them every time they commit sin. Or remind them to the scriptures. Well, you know, let me tell you what the Bible says. They want to know what God would do. They don't want to know what the Bible says. There's a lot of wrong that Christians have taken out and said, "Well, this is what God thinks." Well, first of all, the way you're thinking, he doesn't think. God is love. And everything he does is out of love. Even his discipline, his correction, it's all out of love. So the main thrust that I want you to understand is that when it says that I'll raise this, you destroy this tabernacle and I'll raise it in 3 days, they didn't understand what he was talking about. But there was so much, and that's a study that you could look into yourself. What happened in those 3 days when Jesus was buried in the heart of the earth? One thing for sure, he dealt with our adversary. And secondly, I know this, he walked right in to the holy place of heaven, to the one who sits upon the mercy seat himself. And our sins were dealt with once and for all. You know, you watch these movies where something happened in a family and the family held it against that son or that daughter or father or mother for the rest of their lives. And then finally, when they're at the end of their breath, they're about to die, they finally forgive each other. Well, that's awesome. But man, the guy's dying. Look at all the years that you spent, wasted, where you could have had a great time. Sit down and have some meals together as families, especially Christmas. It's not a time to judge someone and stay away from because they, you know, maybe take a little sip or two here and there once in a while. Who are we to judge? Can your love surpass seeing the outside of a person and coming to know their inside? That's what happened in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well. Jesus saw beyond her adulterous stage. He saw beyond the 5 broken marriages. He saw beyond the brokenness of this young girl when she was, you know, being groomed for marriage, and regardless of what happened to have caused those marriages to not work, it doesn't matter. The Lord accepted her immediately when he saw her at the well. And she walked off with rivers of living waters, never to be dammed up ever again. So what are you doing with the love of God? I don't know this woman that Joni has adopted with all these children. I don't know who they are. I don't know what type of gifts they're going to give them. I don't know how much came in. I don't know any about that. It doesn't matter to me. Just to know that we were able to help someone out in this season is good enough for me. Amen? So saints, if you still have a weightiness on your conscience for anything you've ever done in your life, anything, you're not walking with true freedom. The blood of Jesus was taken right to the very place of heaven's throne, and there your and my sins were dealt with once and for all. The blood of animals never, ever took care of your sin problem. But the Lamb of God has dealt with us for an eternity. Father in heaven, your word is yea and amen. And perhaps, Lord, there's someone here today. And if this message was only set out and set aside and apart for one person, you would still have placed it within me to give it forth. I don't know who you are. I don't know if it's a male or female. But some tragic thing happened to you when you were younger. And people still remind you of it. And you wish it had been forgotten already. I don't know who you are or what it was. Maybe something that the family still places as a burden upon you. And you want to be freed from it. Well, Holy Spirit is here to tell you. The only time it's dealt with in heaven is when you bring it up. Because in heaven, it's been abolished. It's not recorded in heaven. There's no bad things recorded in heaven. Only the good that you went through. So be at peace, regardless of what it was, however shameful it was, however degrading it was. That wasn't you. It was an adversary that, as Mario said earlier, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But the Spirit of God has come to raise you up today, to remind you that your sins have been purged. You've been cleansed by the blood of God Himself, and there is no reason for you to walk with a heaviness from this day forth. Be free. Be free in the Holy Ghost and walk as a child of the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you, saints.